Worthy is the name. Let us all, hallelujah, stand in the presence of God. You know, the God who created the entire universe, who sits on the throne, whom angels cannot even look because of the glory and honor. We have the privilege of worshiping that same God. Dear brothers and sisters, lift up your hands to the Lord. Even before we hear from Him, lift up your hands and offer your bodies as a living sacrifice in surrender before God. And say, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your voice this morning. I don't want to hear a man's word, Lord. This morning I want to hear your word. Hallelujah. Can you just surrender yourself before God this morning? And say, Lord, I need you, Father, this morning. I need to hear from you. I need a breakthrough in my life. My life has been going through, hallelujah, in its usual way. Yesterday night, the word of the Lord came to us. And says, the question that was asked was, what are you doing here? You have been passionate for me in the past, but today, what are you doing here? Today the same question is ringing out to you and God is asking you, my child, my daughter, my son, what are you doing here? Are you being used by God? Are you passionate for the work of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's surrender ourselves before God this morning, hallelujah. And say, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. We'll pray. But before that, I want you to open your Bibles. We are going to listen to the Word of God. And as you all know, we are going through the great adventure. You know, a journey through the Bible. We are going through the Bible. And today is the sixth session of our teaching series called A Journey Through the Bible. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. We are going to listen to the Word of God this morning. I truly believe that God has a word for you. Genesis chapter 6, we are going to read a few verses. I want you to open your Bibles. Whichever language you have, I would like you to open it up and read it loudly. I want you to understand that God is going to speak to you tonight, this morning, if you open your ears to it, listen to Him. We are continuing on the person called Noah. And today, the topic that I want to speak to you is that you need to obey God even when it doesn't make sense to you. You need to obey God, and that is the act of faith. So let us listen to what God's word speaks to us. Genesis chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 13 to verse number 22. Let's all together read in your own language. Please read. And God said to Noah, the end of all the flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in the side. You shall make it with the lower, second, and the third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under the heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of the flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark. To keep them alive with you, they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. And this is a word that I want you to underline it if you have a pen. It says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your word. Lord, many times things happen in our lives we don't understand. Many times you ask us to do things that are contrary to our experience and to our, Lord, human wisdom and knowledge. But Father, to this morning I pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us to know how to take a step of faith and obey you without questioning you, Lord, without asking for logic and without asking for reasoning and without arguing with you. Lord, give us the desire and give us the act of faith that we will hear from you and we will obey what you're telling us to do, Father. Because many times you are telling us to do impossible things, and we know that, Lord, this is your mandate. I pray that you speak to your people this morning. I pray that Satan may not blind their eyes, and Satan may not block their ears, and Satan may not, Lord, close their hearts, and that they will be receptive to your word. I pray this word as it is spoken out, Lord, bring out great abundance of fruit in their life. I pray for the offering and the tithe that your people have offered. I lay it before you, Lord. This is your money. Lord, this is the work for your kingdom. I pray that you use it for your glory. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can you shake your neighbor's hand and say, I will obey what the Lord is telling me. Amen. I will obey. Just say that. I will obey what the Lord is telling me. Yeah, let it be a start of your life of faith. And this morning I'm excited that God is going to do something amazing for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before, as I get started in the sermon, I always try to bring an illustration to you. So today I'm going to bring a very interesting illustration. I want everybody to please pay your attention and listen to me, because I truly believe that God is going to speak to you. As a way of illustration, I'm going to tell you that about Arabian horses. Horses that are there in the Arabian Gulf. They go through rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. In fact, the trainer requires absolute obedience from their horses, and they test them to see that they are completely trained. So after a series of training, the final test is beyond the endurance of the horse or anything that is living, because what the trainer does is that he forces the horses to go for many days without water. He does not give water to the horse. And he allows the horses to go without water for many, many days. And then one day he turns them loose. So the horses look at the water, the troughs that are kept there, they start running to the water because they are so thirsty. They want to drink the water. Just as the horses near the edge of the water, the trainer takes his whistle and he will make a whistling sound that is telling them to come back to him. The sound that he makes to come back to him, just the moment when the horses is going to put the mouth into the water and going to drink, the trainer, he blows the whistle and indicating that they need to return back to him. And the horses, who have been trained for so many days, in perfect obedience, they stop on the tracks just as they're going to put the mouth into the water. They look up and they run back to the trainer. Because the trainer has blown the whistle, the horses, even though their every fiber of the body is thirsting for water, they run back to the trainer. They stand there quivering and waiting for the next command from the trainer. The trainer lets them stand for a few minutes and then he blows the whistle, allowing them to go back and drink from the water. This is the final test for the horse to be totally trained in an Arabian desert. And you can see a picture of a horse. Why does the trainer do that? The reason is because when they go through the desert of Arabia, when there are no tracks, there are nothing, you have to entrust your life on a horse, and the horse has better be trained and obedient to hear the signal of the master. And that is the intention of the trainer. And the trainer leads the horses in that manner. I want to tell you that in the similar instance, God expects us to obey him without any hesitation. There are times when God tells us to do something that does not make any sense. You think logically and you think, why is God telling me to do that? And it doesn't make any sense. But I'm just telling you, this has been, if you examine the Bible and examine the events in the Bible, this is how God has dealt with people from the very beginning. I want you to take the example of Adam and Eve when they were put in the Garden of Eden.
You know, there was the tree in the middle of the garden. There were two trees in the middle of the garden. One of the tree was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told a command. He gave a command to Adam and Eve and said, you cannot eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of every tree, but only this one tree. Don't you eat it. Because the day that you will eat it, you will die. Now, the command of the Lord looks very illogical. It does not make sense. Because you know what? We know that this fruit looked very appetizing. The tree looked very beautiful. It was right in the middle of the garden for easy access. And then they heard Satan talk to them and saying it can increase your knowledge and you can discern between good and evil. It's a tree that can make you wise. So as they look at the tree and they think about what God told them, it looks very, very illogical. It does not sound to their human reasoning. They say, why did God make this commandment to us? Sometimes there are commandments where children say, oh daddy, why are you telling me not to do that? Why are you telling me not to go there? Why are you not telling me not to indulge in those kind of things? Why? We ask that question and we don't know the answer. So Adam and Eve, they actually, when they came to that point of testing, God told them not to do it. But do you know that they went ahead and they disobeyed God? And that was the result that the whole humankind fell into sin. But when we look at the case of Noah and we come back to the portion that we read, you know, God turns to Noah and he says the whole earth, if you look at verse number 13, and he says, the whole flesh has come before me. He says the earth is filled with violence. I'm going to destroy the earth completely. But you, Noah, I want you to do something right now. And this is what he told. I want you to go and build an ark for me. If you think about the ark that God told Noah to construct, I want you to kind of imagine. It was not a small houseboat. It was not. Because the length, it says, of that ark itself was 300 cubits. If you calculate in terms of foot, it was 515 foot boat. That was of three stories. That could accommodate a lot of people. And lot of animals and lot of birds. And God told him to start building an ark. Something which Noah did not understand, or he don't, you know, even understand the realization of what is this. And God told him, you need to make this ark, because if you have to escape the judgment of God, you need to make this ark. You know, I want to tell you that this command, and just then God said, I'm going to send rain upon the earth. Now, for us, rain is something very logical. We grew up basically back in India where there's a lot of rain. It's autumn season. We see rain all the time. But that was not how Noah, when he grew up, he had never seen rain in his life. Because there was no rain upon the earth at the time of Noah. It never was there. He had to imagine what is meant by raining and flood coming upon the earth. I will give you a verse for that. If you turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6, it says, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, because for there was no man to till the ground. A mist went up from the earth and watered the face. It was like a sprinkler system from underground that God created, that a mist would come and water the grass. There was no rain. So when God told Noah, I'm going to send rain and I'm going to flood the earth and I'm going to destroy everybody, it was beyond any belief. Because Noah had never seen even a drop of water falling from the sky. But do you know what? Noah, what we see in chapter 6 verse 9 is that he was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. And more than that, he walked with God. When Noah walked with God like his great grandfather Enoch, he understood when God told him, you build an ark and I'm going to send rain, he believed God. Not only he believed God, do you know how Noah reacted when God told him that message? I want you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. And I want to give you this chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 7, I want you to see the reaction, how Noah reacted when God told him this ridiculous commandment. It says that by faith, Noah, when he was divinely warned of things not yet seen, it says he was moved. He was moved with godly fear. When God told him something, Noah's reaction was, he had a godly fear. He was moved out of his lethargy, out of his day-to-day, you know, affairs, and he was moved to do what? To prepare an ark. To save whom? To save his own household. And because he did that, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. You know, he condemned the world because he started preparing the ark. Now, we usually say that faith and fear are contradictory to one another. But when we understand about Noah's fear, it was a godly fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When Noah heard the command from the God, it says he was moved with godly fear. And he said, I'm going to obey God. So, even though the rain and the floods did not make any sense for Noah, but he trusted God in his faith that he would fulfill the promise in due time. And so what happened was that, as a result of his faith, what happened in Noah's life? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20 says that in the days of Noah, while the ark was prepared, a few, that is 8 souls, 8 people were saved by the ark that he took the time and the trouble to build. In fact, God knows about that, and he says here in verse number 18 that this is a covenant I'm going to make with you. For you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. He had 3 sons, they had 3 wives, and Noah and his wife, they made up 8 people. And said, you are going to save your family if you are trusting in me, and if you are doing something that doesn't make logic to you. I want to tell you one thing, dear brothers and sisters. I don't know what sometimes God is asking you to do. But when God speaks to you through his word, or through the word of prophecy, or through circumstances in your life, I don't want you to turn back and start questioning God. Because God knows something beyond our understanding, and he will tell us, and we need to obey what he's telling us. The Bible, if you read, it is full of examples of people who obeyed God. When God told them to do something, they just did it. They didn't question God. Many times we think we know more than God. We have our own logic and we have our arguments, and we say, Lord, it doesn't seem right. This is not the right way. But I'm telling you, the Bible, many times things are beyond logic. I want you to think about Abraham, the father of faith. When God called him in Genesis chapter 12, and God told him to get out of his father's house, from his family, and go to a land that God did not even reveal at that time. It says Abraham just stepped out of his home and he started on a journey without knowing where he was going. But more than that, when we come to Genesis chapter 22, we see that Abraham was told something so hard. For many, many years he was waiting to have a baby through Sarah. They had a child in their old age when Abraham was a ripe old man and Sarah was a ripe old woman, and they had a miraculous child. And when the child grew up, next God is saying, bring your son and offer him as a sacrifice. Doesn't make logic to me. When you think about what is the logic of killing a son that God granted after so many years of waiting and prayer. But do you know what Abraham did? When you read Genesis chapter 22, early in the morning, Bible scholars say he may not have consulted Sarah at all. Because if he had consulted his wife, she would not have allowed him to take the son Isaac for sacrificing him. But he would not have even have told, because Sarah is not in that picture. She is not even being spoken in chapter 22. He took his servants. He traveled for 3 days up to the Mount of Moriah. And you see that Abraham is willing to kill his son. He puts his son on the altar and he is ready to slay and obey the word of God. Without questioning even one bit. Abraham obeys God 100%. Many times we ask, why did God bless Abraham? The reason, because God, Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted God. Abraham was obedient to God. If you are not obedient to God, don't expect God's blessings in your life. And I'm going to tell you this very clearly. When you obey God, God adds His blessing into your life. Let me give you the example of Joshua. When they crossed the Jordan River, the first big city they had to capture was the city of Jericho. A walled city. It had a fort where you could not go inside. There was no way that you could penetrate into the walls. And God told Joshua something very, you know, you tell somebody, they will laugh at you. God just told, you know, you walk around it for 6 days. And the seventh day, when you walk around it for six times, and the seventh time, you need to start praising God. God did not even say that you take up a ramp and start blowing into the wall. He just said, you start praising God. Just praise God. Let the priests blow their horns. You all start praising God. And you see what happening? As the ark of the Lord, the priest carries and they blow their rams and the people start shouting and praising God. It says God in His infinite strength, He just crashes the walls of Jericho. It falls down without them touching the wall at all. How does it happen? Because Joshua was willing to obey God without questioning Him. He did not question the logic. He did not say, Lord, how will the wall come down like this? It doesn't make sense to us. We are not even going to touch the wall. How are they going to fall down? He did not question God. He obeyed God when it did not make any sense. I want to tell to each and every one of you, many times your life is not a victorious life because you are refusing to know that God is real. And He has a greater plan for your life. You need to obey God and say, Lord, when you tell me, give me the faith to obey you without questioning you at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you want to praise God at this time? Oh Lord, when you tell me something, let me not question and look back. Let me truly obey what you tell me. Let me give you another example. You know, Gideon and his 300 people. God told him to go against the camp of the Midianites with unlimited number of army. He told, just take 300 people. Take just not even the fighting equipments. You go and I am going to give you victory. And God did amazingly that. He gave a mighty victory to Gideon and his army of 300. This morning earlier we heard the testimony about Jehoshaphat. You know, God told him to Jehoshaphat, the battle belongs to the Lord. You just start praising Him. You don't need to fight this battle. This battle is mine. I'm going to fight for you. And you are going to get a victory. And when you read through that chapter, God fought for the people of Israel when they trusted Him and did what He told them. Now you say, Pastor, you speak all about the Old Testament. How about the New Testament? We are in the New Testament era. Let me tell you one beautiful example of Apostle Peter. Many times we tell Peter, oh, he was a rash guy. You know, but one time when in the Sea of Galilee, Jesus told him, come up. He said, Jesus, can I walk on the water with you? You know, thinking about rationally how he can even think about stepping out of the boat into the water. Think about the physical loss. Think about the gravitation. Think about the weight of his body. The displacement of water. He says, if I put my foot, I'm not going to float. I'm going to sink in the water. It's a sea. And believe me, and that was the Sea of Galilee. And that was a place which was water. But Jesus said, come. And what did Peter do? He put his foot. And he's the only one other than Jesus who walked on the water. Amen. Why did he do that? Because he obeyed when Jesus said, come. He was ready to step out of faith. And this morning I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you need to examine your faith life. It's not just enough to come and hear a word of God. You need to apply God's word in your day-to-day life, in your situation, in your job situation, in your health situation, in your family situation. You need to start obeying God and taking steps of faith. And I'm telling you, God is going to do something miraculous in your life. Because there is tremendous blessings and victory when you start obeying God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, as I'm closing here, you know, when we are understanding, I want to tell you this. God's plans, God's ways, and God's thoughts. If you are writing it down, write this down. God's ways, God's plans, and God's thoughts are much higher than our ways, our thoughts, and our plans. God is not like us. He is an infinite being with thoughts and plans and ways that are higher. Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 8 and 9 tells us, it says, as high as the heavens are of the earth, so greater and higher are his thoughts than our thoughts, his ways than our ways, his plans than our plans. We need to give ourselves in the hand of God that he will establish his purposes. We need to obey God without any reservations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. God is always leading us. I'm just telling you. Sometimes in ways that we don't understand. God has led you in your life's journey to come here to Charlotte and to be part of this fellowship. And I made a decision that I'm going to hear from God and I'm going to give you the word of God without dilution. And I'm telling you today, God is leading you in ways that you don't understand. You just need to obey God and you will see the results of what God is going to do in your life. You need to sometimes trusting God is very hard. You know, sometimes trusting God with what we have. And many of us don't trust God to give us back. We trust in stock market. We start trust in property, buying property and all of that. I'm not against that, but I'm telling you, the best investment that you're making is when you trust God with your money and say, Lord, this is something I'm giving to you. Because God says, I'm not a debtor. You give me something, I'm going to bless you. You know, when you look through the background, many of our forefathers, because they walked in truth, God has blessed generations beyond that. People who have trusted God, God has never seen the righteous forsaken. God has never seen their seed begging for bread. God has always taken care of the descendants. When you trust God with your life, when you trust God with your money, when you trust God with your time, I am telling you that God will give you promotion and God will give you increase. You will never lack things. Hallelujah. We think that if you hold back and not give to God, God is going to bless you. I am telling you the opposite is true. You will go and work and work and work. And whatever you get, it is like a putting in a bag full of holes. The money will go from here to the doctor's bills, to the insurance agent, to this and that. And there will be no money left to give to God. You will give the taxes of everything that you own. But if you don't give to God, you know, you don't get the reward that God is going to give. I'm just talking about money on one instance. You also have time to give to God. You also have your talents to give to God. We need to invest and give to God what he has given us. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, our obedience to God's word will make a difference between being condemned and being saved. The difference in Noah's life was that because he was obedient to God's word, he was not condemned with the rest of the world, but God saved him and his family because of a decision that Noah did. I'm going to trust in God. You know, I'm just telling you, let us obey God even when it does not make sense. Let us just obey God. Hallelujah. I'm just closing with an example about us as a church. You know, last Sunday, a few weeks before, we started a baptism class, and this Saturday is our water baptism, and this Friday we have a second baptism class. And the reason I'm putting it, many times people have asked me about why do I need to get baptized. They ask, you know, can I go to heaven without getting baptized? I understand all the logic. I have no answer for any logical answer. All I'm saying is that God commands us, repent and be baptized. In the name of Jesus, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The reason I'm telling this is,
Baptism is a part of God's commandment. And when you obey that commandment, you take water baptism. You are not pleasing man, but you are pleasing God. But you are obeying the commandment. The baptism happens when you repent, you believe in Jesus, and you take baptism. And as a church, we are giving you the opportunity. You are not condemned by us. I have told many people, listen, it's your decision. If you don't take baptism, I'm not going to tell you why, or I'm not going to question you. It's your decision. But end of the day, I'm telling you, baptism is a commandment from God. And we are preparing a venue for our church, for those who have not taken water baptism. You are getting a wonderful opportunity to obey the Lord and testify God through water baptism. It is just an obedience of the command of God. You don't, I mean, it's not like, makes you pure. You take a shower every day, you take a bath every day. It's not an ordinary thing. What you're doing is through baptism, you're witnessing the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're telling to the world, I am a child of God. I'm a born again believer. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am going to be a disciple of the Lord. I'm going to do what Jesus did, because Jesus got baptized. He did not say, he said it fulfills all the righteousness of God. So I want to tell to everyone sitting here, you can hear me. If you have not got baptized after repentance of your sin, the Bible commands, it does not request, it does not have a plan B, plan C, nothing. There is only one plan. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. It is something for your development of you as a spiritual being on a journey, and you can walk with God. Hallelujah. You know, Noah was declared righteous because of his faith. If we have the same faith in God's word, God will work in our lives. Can we all just stand up on our feet right now? I want us to close our eyes for a moment, and I want you to look into your life for a minute. I want you to look into your heart and say, is there anywhere in my life that I have not obeyed God's commandment? Everyone, every eyes closed, every head bowed, I want you to look into your life. Is there any place in my life that I have not obeyed the commandment of God? When God told me to do this, when God has told me so clearly, I should do this and I have not done it. Hallelujah. I want you to make a decision today. Lord, I'm going to obey you. Because only when you obey the Lord, his blessing